Hey everybody, happy Monday night. Today is July 31st, 2023. This is Across the Pitch. I am Mike Barrera. I'm joined by my two buddies, my two pals, Dave and Jose. Jose, I'm just going to shoot to you first, brother. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. I think I got to see you quite a bit this week, obviously at Wrexham, even talking, you know, like it's been good. And obviously I think us as Union fans have a lot to be happy about and really excited to share. I think been putting overtime into these press conferences. So excited to talk with you guys.
Yeah, Jose, you've been killing it lately, working all this extra time. I love it. Dave, I know your season out in England's about to start off with Gillingham. So how are you doing tonight? Give me some scoop on what's to come for my new favorite club out there. Go ahead.
So, I mean, of course, I mean, you know, I'm doing well. It's, I mean, big week, not just, you know, for Gillingham, the Union as well. We've got a big round of 32 tie against DC United. Surprisingly, looking at the way that this, you know, looking at the way the draw has panned out, it looks a lot more favorable than I thought it did when I did my brackets. So, I mean, again, you don't want to put too much stake into the MLS positions in this because it's knockout football. I don't think it could happen. But if you just said that the Union's path to the semi-finals, DC United, or the quarterfinals was DC United, and then won the New York teams at home, you'd have probably snapped everyone's hand off for it. But, you know, this weekend, Gillingham plays Stockport, first game of the season, first league game. It's going to be arguably one of our toughest league games of the season to kick off the season. So, I mean, a positive result there would be great. So, fingers crossed, looking forward to it all.
Listen, Eric's not, you know, pleased with all this possible jinxing you guys are doing. So let's just calm down.
No, he's blaming me.
He's blaming both of you now.
Didn't like my question for Gazdag. This guy, listen to him.
Dave, what time is the game on Saturday?
It would be 10 a.m. Eastern.
I think I can do that. I can wake up at 10 o'clock and watch some games.
Available to watch via iFollow.
iFollow?
I think you have to pay $10 to watch the game or get like a season pass or whatever. But
Jose, yeah, we're doing it. We're following them all season long.
I told you, I already downloaded them to my Google Calendar. So as Dave would say, as the schedule changes, it'll show up on my phone.
Sounds good. Well, listen, we do have a lot to talk about tonight. The Union are in the round of 32 for Leafs Cup. I know Wayne Rooney had a lot to talk about before our match on Thursday. But before we get there, we had a lot to discuss from last week. So the Union took care of Querétaro on, was that Wednesday, Jose?
Was Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday.
I've lost track of my days at this point. So the Union took care of business. I'll shoot to you first, Jose. What were your thoughts on the final game of our match in the group stage? And then I know we saw each other on Friday as well with Wrexham.
Yeah, no, the Querétaro, however you want to say a game, was good, right? We all knew that it was a lesser opponent, say with Tijuana, when compared to some of the MLS teams that are facing Mexican competition right now. Columbus going against Club America, obviously a tougher matchup than both of our opponents combined, and, you know, we just played the draw that we got, but interesting atmosphere in the stadium. I think I missed the Tijuana game, but from what I saw, it was probably about the same type of attendance. So I'm just glad that we came out with a win, right? I think we saw Jesus Bueno have another great match. We saw Jack McGlynn out there scoring goals. We saw Gazdag be a sniper once again from the spot, just continuing his form. So on all, you can't be upset about the form. And obviously, leading the group and going on to the next stage and continuing to have the tournament run through Subaru Park is an incredible, incredible advantage. One that obviously pundits from Apple are obviously touting as a huge advantage, and even coaches, right, from the competition, from the Mexican side. And again, you sort of led into it with Wayne Rooney, are all noticing that, you know, going through Subaru Park is very, very difficult, which I'm sure we'll talk about Rooney's comments later.
Yes, we'll get there for a bit. Dave, did you catch some of the Wednesday match? I know you've had a busy week this week.
Yeah, I watched it in full on Thursday. It was more like it. I think it was more we were hoping to see from the Tijuana game in terms of being defensively solid and, you know, having that killer instinct going forward. I think that, you know, when the chances present themselves, you need to put them away. Had a couple of offside goals as well. I mean, it was much more like it. It really, my disgruntlement would probably be the goal they conceded was really, really poor. I think, you know, to switch off the way they did defensively was something that Jim, again, is a stupid mistake that Jim will cut out. But I think overall, it's a performance that you can really build upon going into the round of 32.
And, And I believe they used all their substitutions that night too, where they had a nice little turnover, got the roster some fresh legs out there. But I know, Jose, we were recently on Edge of Philly Sports these past couple Tuesdays. I was on their show on Tuesday night. We were talking about what the expectations were for Querétaro. I think on our Monday show as well, we discussed about maybe them being more defensive, possibly causing the Union some issues, but obviously that was not the case, especially when you throw in Damian Lowe like you do in that formation. And then we were also on Duke by the River Pod, you and I, Jose, on Thursday.
We've been everywhere.
We have really been – I took a nap before the show. I was like, I just got to recharge my batteries when I can recharge them, and then so after that, I got coffee going into me. But the point being is I think everybody was pleased with the performance. I think overall from all the shows we've been talking to, all the great people we've been talking to, they seem to feel like it's a Union of old, if you will, kind of coming back to like these 5-1 wins, a 6-0, 7-0 type of performances. So – overall, I think for me, what I really like to see the most from Wednesday, was Jesus Bueno. You know, really kind of come into his own. We're with next to Jose Martinez. I know Jim has alluded to them being a good pair moving forward, considering the Venezuelan background. But the corner kick, I want to ask you, Jose, because you go back just about as far as me, actually further than me. When's the last time you had a really reliable right-footed corner kick taker? Because, I mean, Jamiro maybe is the last person I can think of. Who do you think?
Was Celcinho left-footed?
I don't think he took corners, to be honest.
I don't even know. I don't think that the Union have really I'm sure they practice them, but I don't know that a strength of the Philadelphia Union in their lifetime so far as a club has ever been set pieces from the corners, right? I don't think we've ever had the weapons that we've had in terms of Glesnes, Damian Lowe, and this game, throwing Nathan Harriel, who got Air Jordan-style air in this game, scoring a great header. So I don't know that there's that much emphasis into it when obviously it's a huge aspect of the game nowadays, especially after Querétaro coach Mauro was very quick to say, you know, we made mistakes when the ball was stopped, whether it was a free kick, whether it was a penalty kick, or even crosses, right? Corners. We were just punished. And that's what you want to see from the Philadelphia Union. And now they're really expanding the repertoire of ways to score goals. And more importantly, I think it's really it's really fascinating to see those players that are showing up to be able to do all of this. And it's not the players that you probably expected a year or two ago. So it's wonderful to see this evolution of this team. And you can't be too upset, right? Again, we play the draw that we got. And I think it's fair to compare it to last year's run of you know, trouncing teams like DC United, who finished last in the East with a negative 35 goal differential. So, yeah, these are the teams that you're supposed to dominate this way.
Eric says jokingly, "What corners have been our strongest? Union and corners go together better than oil and water." Eric, maybe you might remember a good right-footed take, because I can't. But either way, I thought the Jesus Bueno corner kick was excellent. Nathan Harriel, though, might have the best hops I've ever seen from a Union player, because that boy can just jump, man.
I asked him about it after the game. He said, you know, I just honestly jumped and closed my eyes. I was like, well, that doesn't sound like great technique, but hey, it worked for you, right? All he did was just deflect it towards net, and that's ultimately all you need in some of these situations, especially when the ball is as good as it was.
Yeah, and he's still so young. Like, you know, he's just going to get a little stronger as he gets a little older. So it's kind of scary to think if his vertical can grow even more than that. Dave, any last thoughts, though, on either the corner kick or any particular player from Wednesday's match you think really stood out to you?
Just in addition to the corner kicks and set pieces, it was interesting to see, you know, the team actually experimenting with different set piece takers, as opposed to, you know, Kai Wagner taking every single set piece all over the field, no matter where it is. I think Jim's noticed that the efficiency hasn't been there. The deliveries perhaps haven't been as good this year as they were in years past. I mean, I think Kai's gone from double digit assists to, you know, I think one or two, maybe one in MLS play this year, I think. Or, you know, perhaps the standards he set last year were extremely high. But I think even then, like, just to go from the amount of assists you got to barely even creating a chance, let alone a half chance from any set piece, I think it's time you should perhaps be giving Jack McGlynn some of these opportunities as well, with the way that, you know, he can strike, he can play past the ball, and perhaps, you know, I don't know, I just think it's But yeah, I just think it's interesting to see that, you know, that perhaps Jim's now experimenting, looking at what other players can produce, because I think Bueno took a fair few free kicks as well on the right hand side and putting the balls in the box. So it's exciting to see the team, you know, Jim experimenting and, you know, trying to actually move away from what has been his tried and trusted for the last 2.5 years.
Eric says the best Union corner taker is a player to be named later. So he'll be a great player eventually, which is true. There's not really been a whole lot of history with that. But in terms of, as you mentioned, Dave, the growth of Bueno and just developing these players, you know, we've kind of hinted at the League's Cup being almost a negative. Maybe it's too much soccer. Maybe these guys are going to just be focused on this rather than, you know, trying to move up the MLS table, et cetera. But I feel like this has been the perfect time for us to kind of get experimental and try these new things. And we've allowed players like Bueno or McGlynn to kind of get those extra minutes to really just keep working on their game. And I think we're seeing that maybe if we do advance to the League's Cup, when we time to get back to the MLS playoff push, we're just firing on all cylinders. Our players have earned more minutes and it will benefit us pretty greatly. Because right now, Jose, to your point, the Union are pretty set up for a nice, comfortable ride at home as long as they take care of business.
As long as they don't meet LAFC right in the final, which if you look at the other side of the table, and maybe this is looking even further ahead into our conversation tonight, the West is going to just devour itself, right? There's so many big games coming up this week and later in the week with the next round of matches that, yeah, you can't be too upset about the way that the draw has played out for us. But I think in a dream scenario, I think we would all sort of cross our fingers to continue on the competition and potentially even have another meetup with Querétaro down the line. So that's a possibility, and I don't think we'd be too upset about it.
No, not at all. I'm sure they would not be pleased, but I think I'll take that any day of the week. Now, besides the Union news, I know the Philadelphia 2 were also, very popular this week because Wrexham came to town. Now, Dave, I know you'll be seeing Wrexham a couple times this season because they're playing Gillingham in was League Two now, right? Yeah. So I'm curious to know what your thoughts about all this circus around this team right now. And I don't know if you caught any of the highlights from that match on Friday night, but what are your thoughts on Wrexham coming to Philly?
I think it was a strange, it was weird seeing the Union deck out the parking lot and the car park and everything, you know, with like a Wrexham phone zone area for Wrexham fans, which I found really weird to do, selling all this Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds stuff. I found it a bit weird for a home friendly game against your reserve team. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen when you've got big multi-billionaire celebrities, running around. This is mine, with all the money they've got, all the sponsorship deals and television deals I've given, and streaming deals I've given Wrexham. It's going to be interesting to see. I think I've given my opinion on Wrexham before on the show, and I don't want to delve too deep into it again. It's going to be interesting, and it'd be very interesting to see what the media perception is if Wrexham struggle this year. If they, well, not saying they will, but if they were to struggle and they were to be mid-table come mid-April and they've got nothing to play for towards the end of the season, be very interested to see what the media perception of around Wrexham is as the end of the League Two season comes up. Well,
right now they're at the all-time high, right? This is the best selling port for the Wrexham at this point. You know, they just got promoted, right? The documentary, the next season's coming out, I'm sure, soon. It's going to be the most watched season of XX, whatever, because of how well they did last season.
Yeah.
But the crowd at that game was like playoff atmosphere type crowd. It was not at all
before the rain delay,
I should say. So it was a Friday night, so I got done work at like 5 o'clock, whatever. I showered, rushed down the highway, and I got to the stadium around maybe 6:40-ish, maybe. Mm-hmm. I was stuck on the bridge. The traffic was just getting into the parking lot was ridiculous, and then once I pulled down towards Lot G, I'm like, this place was packed. It was just really busy. I was like, "Holy crap!" There was a lot of Wrexham fans, but even like in the concourse outside the stadium, leading up to like the media gate and in that orthopedic gate on the right hand side, it was all they had like I think a makeshift pub.
It was
insane.
Mike, I don't think that there's I actually used this word with Marlon LeBlanc, the coach for the Philadelphia Union too, when talking to him after the match in the press conference, but I shouldn't be using this, but it felt like a circus. It truly did. Yeah. This had to be like not even mutually beneficial, because I think it was like that plaza that's usually Widener University, Subaru, Heineken Silver, B101, the radio station. I think they give out like the plastic bags, etc. Some of them were there, but I would say that like 75% of that plaza was all about Wrexham. A throw-in, I guess. I haven't watched the show, so I ignorance maybe is bliss, but I just have no real reason to watch that. I watched enough soccer, or I'm interested enough in just watching the Union, my Manchester City, and up the Gills this year. But I just don't get it. And it got to the point that we even had folks from the SAG-AFTRA strike because they were recording part of the show out there with picket signs. So I'm thinking to myself, this is truly a circus. But I am so, so happy for the kids, right? The Philadelphia Union 2 players who don't get these type of crowds ever were finally able to get a taste of it. And some of them even folded at it. And I can talk a little bit more about that later.
Yeah, I saw it was when my neighbor went to the game, she said the ticket was like 45 bucks for right in front of our box area. She was right in front of us in 106.
That's more than a Union ticket.
$45 for that. And it was last minute, so I mean, granted, maybe that's why. But it was just okay. It was very expensive. I know we also met, Rich Jones from The Mirror.
Yep, so, I'm sitting down with him tomorrow to talk about his experience.
Okay, you segued into it. So I want to hear what No, perfect. What do you want to say about that? Because I know that's something that we're both interested in. But what did you think of when you saw him? You're like, wait, where are you from? Like,
and actually, that was my exact reaction. And it was prior to you arriving to the again, we're so blessed and fortunate to be credential members that were provided meals and a comfortable seat that has a roof over it, not air conditioning, but a roof over it. And when I sat down, I saw this one guy sitting there by himself, just looking a little, you know, like looking around, like really taking in the atmosphere. I'm thinking, I've never seen this person. What outlet is he with? And at this point, I think, Mike, you and I and others are starting to really get to know one another. And we sort of know who's with who and who's reporting for what. Yep. That when I sat with him, I was like, hey, I'm with AAT Sports here in Philadelphia, et cetera, et cetera. Where are you from? Oh, I'm with The Mirror. The UK. I came from the UK for a 3-month stint out in New York City, so I'm here reporting on it. I'm like, wait, what? You're with The Mirror? And you know, it just sort of continued. The conversation continued to go, and I just was amazed. Like, this is the machine that those two guys have built, and good for them. Good for them in building a machine like this, because it takes a master marketer to come up with something like this. So good on them. You can't hate it.
No, you can't. And by the way, it's Rich Jones is his name, at Rich Jones Media for The Mirror. Very nice guy. He said his dad was a Wrexham fan, so he's got some, you know, local ties. But again, it was just weird seeing somebody very international coming over just to watch a Union 2 match. And he was saying how great the stadium is to watch a game. And I was thinking to myself, imagine if he came for the Union 2 games that we typically see, or even the Querétaro Tijuana game that was on Sunday where about 5 people were there.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You would say it's a completely different atmosphere entirely. But again, Rich Jones, again, really great guy from the dinner we had with him, which was a very unexpected surprise for us.
Right, so be on the lookout for whenever I get around to finally posting that out. It'll probably be 15-20 minute conversation with him about his experience at Philadelphia, what he thought about it. And I'll even link his article that he put out, his recap over the weekend. Just and this is the beauty of working, you know, or working our hobby as reporting for the Union. It's been a lot of fun to meet people like this, but just, Dave, this is the circus you probably experience over in England with the Gills, and maybe not so much with the Gills, but I'm sure the Premier League, right? The random outlets being probably sent over.
I think, again, I think we've had about 700 different updates already about Paul Mullen, who obviously injured his, I think he had a punch of the lung or something.
Under
23s. I mean, I look forward, we've had a couple of Athletic articles about already, so I'm looking forward to the Athletic, covering
Tom Bogart's going to be there.
No, it'll be Paul Orstein or whatever the hell his name is. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to looking forward to the Athletic really going deep, a deep dive into the recovery of Grimsby Town Centre. Middle like October, you know, this is the standard they're going for.
The hotel owner was at the plaza too. I guess there's a famous hotel on the show or something. I guess it's at the pub, or I can't remember. Oh, but yeah. there was somebody there who was given talent credentials to roam around the stadium, and people were posting pictures of him with like, hey, this is the guy who owns the hotel or the pub or whatever, he's famous. I'm like, okay. If you say so.
You know what's funny, because like I almost didn't go. I mean, we were talking about this earlier in the week. I was like, I had a crazy busy week, and I was like, yeah, I was like, I even left at halftime. I was like, I got plans, I have things to do tonight. But I was like, you know what, like, when else are you gonna have the opportunity to see Wrexham, for one? And two, just to experience that circus. Because like, to Dave's point, and this is 100% correct, if they have a down year, the media perception, the public perception will change on them. And maybe if they came around next year after a bad season, they wouldn't have this type of, you know, entourage around them. But after they scored that goal, it didn't feel like I was in Chester. It felt like I was in an away stadium. And, you know, and it was at Wrexham's, you know, home crowd. It was very loud. And they even had the Welsh national anthem before the game. I mean, they went all out for it.
Mike, let me fill in some more of the gap here, because after you left, I endured the entire evening. I rolled up to my house at around 1:30, 1:45 in the morning. And honestly, yeah, I just saw that. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you for the comic.
And I want to commend, again, Marlon LeBlanc and Raffanello for sticking around at midnight to start their press conference. Albeit a 30-minute conference. Probably, actually, that's probably longer than what we get with Jim anyways, and with the players. So kudos to them. But come the second half, after the three-hour rain delay, Mike, you had fans that had sort of gathered together to get away from the rain and from the thunderstorm. Across from the press box, so I guess that's, what is that, 120 something, I guess?
126, yeah, and all that, yep.
You just hear, Wrexham! And I honestly thought it was the Sons of Ben area, just chanting Wrexham the entire time, or, you know, periodically. And I know some other folks who are part of the Sons of Ben that stuck around for the rain delay and ultimately watched the rest of the game, but I could not believe it, you know, and I was with a family member and some other folks that they brought along, and we were all kind of like, are we at a Union game? Like, what is this all about? So again, it goes to talk about the craze behind this team, and you're right, as soon as there's a bad season, and I can't imagine that they win year after year, though, Dave, you made the argument of, you know, well, they're spending like they're in a different division, maybe they will win, who knows? As soon as they don't win one season, what is going to be the perception of this team, right?
Yeah. It's whether the diehard fans can push them through, or whether fans like Eric's cousin just kind of fade into the background.
the Karen soccer moms that are suddenly Wrexham fans?
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, it was nice. It was a nice experience. I'm glad I went. It was, the crowd was cool. They even had Wrexham gear inside the Union shop, so it was – I feel like everybody involved was pleased with the outcome. It's really unfortunate the rain delay happened, and it was so long of a rain delay, because it really did lessen the experience for even the players, the kids especially, who deserve that kind of atmosphere. And by the way, can we talk about Delran De Bruyne with Raphael's beautiful kick to tie that game up at the end? Good for him, because now that's a lot of attention on him. He's already gotten a nice, you know, screamer recently as well. But
yeah, after the match, I like I mentioned, he stuck around for the press conference, and I asked him about his mentality, right, flip flopping back and forth between Union 2 and the Union proper, and his response was actually really telling, I think, of his level of maturity and not downplaying the importance of being part of both and how much he appreciates it, because he mentioned, well, and Marlon did the same. Jesus Bueno did it, and now he's doing great. You have Jack McGlynn, who's done plenty of time with the Union too, and he's doing great. Why can't I be the next one who does that, right? I mean, so,
what's the argument with Pat Brendan, right? Brendan Aaronson was in Bethlehem Steel in 2017, whatever it was, and now suddenly he's in, you know, in the Premier League. Now he's in Bundesliga and all this stuff.
So right, and for him, he sort of mentioned it, which is, again, telling about this Philadelphia mentality and what they're building, and terms of you know, they understand that this is part of the process. This is part of the project, right? You, whether are playing Union 1 or proper Union or Union 2, you are going to be part of the project and you need to know your role and embrace it. And I think that's really the mentality that Jim's sharing with these guys, and it's here to stay through 2026.
It's a very minor leagues baseball type feel to it. You know, you're going to get called up and you're going to, you know, have your opportunity. So Derek mentions the marketing tool of the American experience and the Leagues Cup. Now, to Derek's point, the Leagues Cup game at Subaru Park was not marketed well at all for Sunday. Nobody knew that Tijuana and Querétaro were playing on Sunday.
We knew.
And I'll get to that in a second. I'm going to bring up Kyle Almaney's post right here. Kyle and Jillian were actually on our show last week. So he said, great show, guys. Friday night was fun night. We were chanting at the River End. It was the most fun time we had with a small group. A great show. We're listening on the way back from Hershey Park. Oh, great. Kyle and Jillian, I hope you guys had a good time out in Hershey. And Eric says, but it's a great story. You don't understand. Sure, Karen, I'll see you at the stadium again. Never. So, but today, Eric's always the best in these comments.
Or the guy with the Bale jersey I posted online. Just, you know, you just got some odd. I think that best way to describe it is, I don't think that's a type of crowd we'll ever see again. To be completely honest with you, I bet you a lot of the people who were there this past Friday for the game were, had to be, and hopefully not, in a sense, first and only one time Subaru Park people. You know, they came to watch Wrexham, but I like to think that they'll somehow find their way back after punching Subaru Park into the GPS for the first time this Friday.
Went to Miami.
Well, yeah, Miami too.
That's
a great point, Dave. You know what it reminded me of, Jose? It reminded me partially about the Club America match about last year, 2 years ago, because that's what it felt like. Again, a game that I came late to, and I was in the parking lot trying to park, and I could hear the crowd from that stadium louder than I've ever heard it in years. And when you got in there, it was all yellow, and not the Union yellow. I mean the Club America yellow that just took over the stadium. And I agree with you. I think if there was ever a time to market the Union, it's when those fans are in the stadium, when it's like, hey, you know, Joe from Broomall, who's never been to a Union game, who likes Wrexham, you're only half an hour away from the stadium. Why don't you come down here on a Saturday and watch Union play against Inter Miami, et cetera. So, I mean, Dave, any last thoughts on this or anything else?
I mean, not really. I think probably just to follow up on the, you know, the poor, you know, the poor crowd that was at the Querétaro versus Tijuana game, which was just a bit of a shame, really. I think, again, it was, I don't know what the prices of the tickets were. I don't know if they're like $10 or whatever. Like,
someone mentioned 15, which I somehow doubt, but I think with the how poorly it was attended, it had to be flexed to something low.
Oh, here, Jillian says there was some people in the River End who was their first time, and they were Wrexham fans, so there you go. Go ahead.
I did imagine there was a fair few Brits out there. I think like quite a fair few Wrexham fans had travelled out there. I think you saw a few of them at the I think Wrexham played a game with the Link against Man United? They played the Link, whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
United. There was a lot of Wrexham fans out there from like the UK, so I imagine that, again, for them, this is sort of like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, which I understand, but like, yeah, but I think, again, the game on Sunday would have been nice to have perhaps seen a busier Subaru Park, and it does perhaps raise the question of, you know, is it really worth it, or was it in terms of, you know, trying to make this competition have a big feel to it?
Yeah.
Like, is it really worth just limiting it to one nation? Whereas perhaps if, you know, Tijuana Querétaro had played in, you know, and actually played in Mexico, you'd have probably got a, what's it called?
A much bigger crowd.
A much bigger crowd. When, again, there are some all Mexican ties coming up in the round of 16 as well. So, again, like, in DC, I think, was it? Pumas versus Querétaro. Is there going to be a big crowd for that game? You know, like,
I'll be there. I think I'll be there waiting on my credential, actually. I'm going to be there for work anyway, so I might as well just sneak in. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, if these Mexican teams, there's all a Mexican tie, like, not being funny, if it's a semi-final between two Mexican teams and, you know, in the arse end, like Ohio or whatever, like, I'm just trying to think of a place, like, you know, and there's like 600 people there for a semi-finals of the League's Cup. I mean, that's not a good advert for the competition. It sort of sounds like most of the people don't actually care about the tournament. Like, You couldn't imagine a World Cup, a European Championship, a Copa America with about with next to no fans there, an empty stadium. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a bit of a bad look for the league. So perhaps it's something they need to look at in terms of, perhaps being a bit more flexible with, how, just how to, again, better advertise the tournament, the logistical side of it. It's all great, Subaru Park being the home of Tijuana and Querétaro during the group stage, but so they'll sell their kits, mm-hmm. they'll sell their merchandise and play their goal music. But I mean, it just doesn't create the same atmosphere. Don't get the same passion, the same fans.
I guess this is a question for both of you. Mike, you weren't there on Wednesday, right?
For Querétaro?
In the stadium.
No, I don't even remember now. No, was
okay.
I?
Okay. No, I don't think there. You were. Were you there on Wednesday?
No, I wasn't there.
Okay, you weren't there. Yeah, we're all losing track. I mean, I've been back and forth Subaru Park so much this week and being on these press conferences, getting sound bites. But maybe this is a question for folks, Val, Derek, Eric, Kyle, Jillian. In the stadium, and maybe my adrenaline was too high, I was maybe thinking about questions for the press conference that I wasn't paying attention. I know I jetted out right after the game to go to the bathroom and get back in the press room, but I don't believe there was any advertisement whatsoever on the video boards about a Sunday game, even if it was the two Mexican teams. And to your point, Dave, and I mentioned this on Twitter, why wasn't there some sort of promotion, right? If you bought a ticket, if you already bought a ticket for Wednesday, or if you're a season ticket member, send me an email saying for $10 or $15, come and watch on Sunday as well. Or as you're purchasing tickets leading into Wednesday, say Wednesday morning or Tuesday evening, have an option to upgrade by $20 to also get a game on Sunday. And thank you, Kyle. Just bundle the games together, right? Like, I genuinely understand after talking with Miguel Herrera after the match. Obviously, he came back from back-to-back losses in this tournament. And first game, he was pretty pissed off, and this one he was maybe a little more calm, cool, collected. He was wearing his Tony Stark his Tony Stark glasses. He looked like a Mexican Tony Stark, which is so awesome to see. But I asked him, what is your message to the organizing committee? Obviously, you were vocal enough during the last match about changes you want to see, and just how there's no way that this is even considering that Mexican teams don't have a home game, unless you're on the West Coast, as Derek mentioned,
yep.
And he was very quick to say, I don't have to say anything. They should know what they have to do, and walked off. He wasn't even open to any follow-up on my end. He wasn't really open to any more questions. Literally got up and left. Or unless I think her name is Grecia, who runs the press conferences for the Champions Cup now, and now League's Cup. I don't even think she got a chance to ask for more questions from the Zoom. I think he literally got up and left. So it's obvious that it was frustrating for him, obviously losing two games, but there were just so many ways you could have marketed this. And I wish I knew somebody who was there, and maybe this is a David Malandra question, but I doubt it since he goes into the press box. Were all of the stations around the stadium open? Because what a waste of employee time if that's the case, right? Think about all the cheese stick, the hot dog places, the burger places that would have been open for what, 800 people, 900 people?
You want to hear a funny story? Back in 20, wait, how old am I? I'm 32 next week. So when I was like 21 ish, give or take, I actually worked at Subaru Park. Well, actually, I didn't think it was PPL Park at that point.
Probably PPL, yeah, or Talon Energy.
No, I don't think it was Talon Energy. I think it was PPL. I actually worked one game as a concession person.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was for was it a rugby match? It was some sort of obscure, random thing. So, yeah, you walk through the back areas and, you kind of meet with the people who are in charge of the concessions. And I remember just walking to that game, which was a fairly decent population, that game. And there were so many workers just standing around doing nothing because it just wasn't that busy. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if they projected, or maybe that's why they didn't advertise it. Because they didn't want to have to deal with the financial side of backing that much alcohol, that much food, all that security, all that stuff. And listen, by the way, guys, for the comments, all the comments agree. I'm trying to push them up as much as I possibly can. So this is all great. Eric mentions the NCAA is great at that. When I buy tickets for PSU hockey and lacrosse in the national tournament, they usually have multiple games. No reason you can't have that here. And, you know, to Eric's point, even if they just said, hey, listen, you come to a game, if you come to the Querétaro match on Wednesday against the Union, you can get free parking on Sunday for the game, and then you can get a...
No, like, Mike, like, you can't touch the parking money.
You know what I'm saying? Just some sort of incentive and say, here's this incentive and here's a decal for whatever.
Honestly,
you want to fucking do. It's
Mike,
so simple.
Even something like a voucher for Union Yards, right? I know that they're pushing the hell out of that. Why not just the voucher to Union Yards, get your three tacos afterwards or something like that, right?
Because I think we just need to work for the Union at this point. I think our ideas.
I've worked in marketing for philanthropic places, and it's not hard to come up with this stuff. To me, it's just very interesting how fumbled this was. And this, I just feel bad also for the staff members, right? The PR people for the Union that had to be there on Sunday anyways because they have to help open the PR room and run the PR and make sure that they're there as folks. And, you know, the Erica's, Amanda Young's, Nico's of the world who help us out on the PR side had a long-ass weekend. And, yeah, I know it's part of the job and part of the season, but, man, like, for, I don't know, that type of turnout, it almost feels like... shoot, man, just throw them to Swarthmore College and play at a small stadium. Like, what a shame.
No, I agree. Listen, I think we've kind of touched on this whole atmosphere and stuff long enough. I know we have a big match on Thursday against DC United. Dave, I'm going to shoot to you first. I know we've seen DC now once already, so I want to know your thoughts on what you expect from the DC United match on Thursday, as well as any predictions. How you feeling, man? You get with round of 32, it's knockout round now. Are you excited for the Union moving forward?
I think, especially considering how the playoffs went in 2020 when they obviously won the Support Shield, and I think it was Revs game, and everyone's like, it was like a locked in Union win. Everyone thought the Union were going to just stroll through it, and what happened. But it's just so unpredictable. You can't like predict how this is going to go. Like, I think Mazatlan, I think that's what they're called. They came bottom of like Liga MX last season or won the stages of the season. They've done really well in the tournament so far. They've done really well. So I mean, like, anything could happen. It's gonna be a tough game, I presume. You know, this is probably one of DC United's best chances at, you know, like,
only chance.
I think they're in the shout of the playoffs.
I just don't see it, but yeah, I hear you.
I think they could make the playoffs. I don't think they'll win. Again, if they somehow win the playoffs, that'd be amazing. Fair play to them. But like, I think they're in with a shout at the playoffs. But like, this is a really good chance for DC United that they can get through this game to perhaps, you know, have a run in. And I think obviously they know how tough the game will be, but they'll be feeling it. I think it'll be a tough game. Of course, the game at Subaru Park was a difficult one. The last time we played, I think that was coincidentally. I think the Union. Was that the game that Ali Bedoya got injured in? For that the second time this season?
Damn, you're jogging my memory here. I think, maybe?
I remember.
I'll look up that game for you now.
Because I remember the Union going playing a back five against Colorado and looking good going forward. And, you know, I don't think Ali played. I don't know if Bedoya played that game. We did play it again. But the fact, ignore me, I think that was the game that either Bedoya got injured in or the first game after his injury where Jim thought, okay, we'll go back to the 4-4-2 diamond, and then it didn't work.
So I have the game in front of me right now. So it was a 0-0 tie at home. They had it was a diamond. They went, did they do something? It was Elliot, Glesnes, Harriel, Wagner, Real, Bedoya, Flock, Torres.
Yeah.
They had changes like crazy. Olivier was in the game.
That was the worst game I watched all season, I think. Honestly, it was such a drag. And I think I remember being in the press room with you, Mike, and talking to the Joe Tansies of the world and being like, wow, what a dud of a game this was.
There was an Andres Pereira signing out there.
Who has joined NYCFC alone for the rest of the season. But yeah, I think the Union will win. I think it'll be perhaps a bit scrappy. I think DC will try and drag the Union down to the level and try and make it as scrappy and frustrating as possible. But I feel like, you know, with the high line they play, with the goalkeeper playing so high up the field as well, like...
Tyler Miller, baby.
It's a good chance for the Union, you know, perhaps to try and utilise, you know, some pace, try and get in behind and try, you know, try and put them on the back foot and try and make DC uncomfortable. I'm going to go, I think it'll be a tough one, but I'm going to go 2-1 Union.
So if I'm looking, so when you look on ESPN, it shows you the formation that changes after the substitutions were made. So Ua started, so Torres replaced him. So it was Ua and Karanz up top. You had Gazlag at the 10. You had Bedoya on the left, and you had, I want to say, Jose Martinez and Flock in the rotation. So it was a typical diamond formation. But I remember this game in particular, Jose, I remember you probably highlighted in our show how Jacob Glesson has had himself a game against Benteke.
Yep, so I remember that.
Go ahead. Sorry, the comments are coming out. I'll put you guys up in a second. But go ahead, Jose. What are your thoughts on this rematch, 6-0 draw?
I think Reddit and Twitter has already eaten up the video I put up after hearing Wayne Rooney talk post-match after their defeat in the last of the group stage. And almost feels like the excuses are already piling up on his end and sort of, you know, the odds are stacked against them type of conversation, loser mentality, to be honest with you. And I shouldn't say that as a supposed to be an impartial member of the press per se, but it's so hard when I love this team. So, you know, his comments, I don't think he understands how seeding works. I don't know if he expected a higher seed despite being the last team in the East last year with a negative 35 goal differential, but that was his excuse, right? He found it a bit odd that they were the lowest seed. I don't know, Wayne. I feel like you should just enjoy collecting the air miles that you'll be collecting this tournament, because there's no reason for you to have a home game. If anything, I find them to be quite fortunate to have hosted the matches that they did out at Audi Field. So it'll be an interesting matchup, and I think one that it truly does feel like this is a different team than the one that played against them earlier in the year, right? You had already mentioned Perea's sighting, which obviously he's long gone after collecting, I guess we're halfway through the season, 300K this year, and the other 300K will come from New York City or so. But yeah, Martinez is a different player. Jesus Bueno is definitely a different player than he was back then. I don't even think he was touching the field then. Jack McGlynn's confidence has to be through the roof right now after scoring from outside the box. You have Danny Gastad continuing his streak in the penalty spot and scoring from away from the penalty spot all in one game. I think it just really does feel like a different team altogether that I really do hope that this is a 2-0. We take care of business and we just look at the next opponent, right? Continue to run through us and let's run this tournament. As I mentioned in our halfway through the season piece, this is it's 5 games. That's all it takes from here on out. And obviously, we have a fantastic streak of winning here. So let's see what happens.
So if just to go back to the schedule for those who kind of don't remember, because I forgot entirely. So this was in the middle of May when this happened. This was 2 games after the 3-3 Minnesota penalty kick,
yep,
you know, Open Cup game.
Bonanza.
This is right after the 2-1 win against Colorado. This is right before the 3-0 win against New England when Michael Ua had himself, I think the hat was that when he had the crazy game at home against New England. Gazlag had 2 goals. Never mind. So that wasn't the Ua match with the black jerseys. But either way, it was in between those matches. Mm. And to your point, we didn't have this new powerful formation that Jim Curtin has been touting with three.
Back three, baby.
It really is a different team. So I think Eric mentioned the comments. You know, he's a little nervous, but he thinks it should be an easy game. I just want to see them take care of business at home again in the same manner they did Tijuana and Querétaro. You didn't take those teams lightly. You punished them when you could. Do the same exact thing with DC United. I mean, to Dave, your point, this is anything can happen in knockout football. We talked about, you and I talked about the bracket before this game started. Yes, here's a college basketball plug. College basketball, anything can happen. You can have the 16 team, you know, upset a 1 seed. There's no reason why DC United can't do the same exact thing to us. They obviously have proven they can play with us a little bit this year. But again, to Jose, your point, this is not the same Union squad we saw back in May. Thank God, because the team now that's playing now is far better. But Jose, go ahead.
It feels like Wayne has already, and kind of ballsy of him considering that he needed a result or needed things to go his way out in DC, but rested for the majority of the last game, Christian Benteke. So he should be up and running after getting some rest and being with his family these last couple of days or yesterday.
Yeah.
But also got to remember, Wayne did already confirm that Russell Knauss will be out, and I hope I'm saying his last name correctly, but he's a big piece of the team. So one player that they'll be missing, but ultimately this is tournament play and anything can happen, and hopefully this is not where we fall apart at Subaru Park. If anything, gosh, let's just get through all the way to August 19th and worry about having to reschedule an August 20th Dallas game.
Dave, what's the do you know this the possible match for the next round if we advance past the round 32?
Yes, the winner of the New York Derby.
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean. Like, it's a favorable. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a fate. Again, I don't want to like say. I feel like I'm underestimating
the
team. Like,
keep it together. Go ahead.
No, to get a New York City FC game again at home.
Or Red Bulls.
Well, for it to be exciting for Red Bulls, they'd have to probably win against us for once. It's been a while.
I mean, again, like if you this isn't the same NYCFC that we've seen over the recent years. You know, where they've been a very attacking team, they've scored a lot of goals. They've struggled this year, and the same for the Red Bulls. Again, they've had a struggling year. I just think it's, you know, and then I think you have the winner of, I mean, the Union could play Atlas in the quarterfinals as well.
Can you imagine that shit show if it was Atlas again and the nonsense of the fans?
There is a potential chance that the Union could play Querétaro again in the quarterfinals. Yep. I mean, like, it's a very, very, I keep saying favourable draw, but it's a draw that if you'd have told the Union this is how it would play out at the start of the tournament, they'd have probably, ripped your arm off for it. I feel like, again, like, to have two MLS teams from your conference that you've played against this season, you know, you have experience against, you know, you have, you know, you can, you've got a full tape, full like scouting library and what to look at them. And then, you know, two potential Mexican teams that you've already, again, you've played this year, so you know what to expect. And one, actually, you would have played about 10 days beforehand.
You know what will be different, though, this time compared to the DC game back in May? It sounds like 140 will have the trumpet back.
Oh.
So be ready for the trumpet.
Well, I'm turned on now.
There's no way that Apple is masking all of that trumpet noise and the drums and Eric out there, hopefully with his shirt off, cheering. It's going to be all out there. I won't be there, but it'll be out there.
Valerie comments a trumpet. Derek says, we have home field advantage over everyone except LAFC. And I completely agree. And also, for the games that are going out right now, Columbus is tied up 1-1. Columbus, the news with Zellerán going to Saudi Arabia, just released today. Yeah. Puebla and Chicago are tied 0-0. Well, Toluca and Colorado are in delay. And then we have Guadalajara and Kansas City at 10 p.m. So the round of the group stage, rather, is closing up today as we speak. Sorry. And then go ahead, Dave. Yeah, go ahead.
Just to go to obviously Derek's comment about LAFC, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen if they can get past Juarez or Juarez? Is it Juarez?
Juarez.
I don't know if you've seen who they have to play. They could play in the quarterfinals if they get past them. Or the last 16. A team that they know very well, which stopped them from gaining continental success this season.
Who is it?
It's a rematch of the CONCACAF Champions League final.
It's
Leon in the round of 16, which I imagine will be the big flagship game they should be promoting, but I'm sure that Inter Miami versus Cruz Azul or Charlotte will be the really big game in the quarterfinals, whatever. Inter Miami versus FC Dallas or Mazatlan will be the massive game they try and broadcast everywhere as opposed to
Eric mentions he doesn't play LAFC. Three matches of heartbreak has been enough. I know that would be the worst if we lost them again.
And I was going to say that, doesn't it feel, and Eric is sort of making completing my thought here, but like it feels like we faced LAFC this year at the worst possible time when they're actually rolling and doing well, or maybe we just weren't clicking, whatever, a mixture of both perhaps. But after us losing to them, it almost felt like they stumbled their way to being mediocre. It's been really interesting how that team has fallen from grace over the last couple of weeks. Yeah. And obviously, it's tournament play; anything can happen.
Didn't they lose their first MLS match after we played them against Houston or something weird like that?
Yeah. Probably, honestly, it's just our luck.
I think the team to look out for on the other side of the bracket, especially, is probably Club America. I think they are the team. Which, they can get on a roll, they can start winning. I think, who did they thrash in their first group game?
I would like to see them at Subaru Park again.
That's a team that's going to have home field advantage at Subaru Park.
Let's do it. I know Valerie commented the atmosphere. By the way, Valerie, I hope you're under the weather. I hope you're feeling better. I would love to see Club America again, because that would be an incredible experience for round two, because I didn't think it was going to happen again to have them back there at Subaru Park. But
they're going
to
qualify as group. Sorry, they're going to qualify as group winners, and I believe that they will play Minnesota in the next round.
Can we talk about how useless and super quick the Leagues Cup website is with any of this bracket work? I end up having to go to stinking Wikipedia to actually get dates on a bracket when things are happening. Yeah, like it's so poor.
Maybe you and Miguel Herrera need to have a conversation about what needs to be fixed with Leagues Cup.
Dude, that guy's gonna write an essay to the organizing committee.
Dissertation of the issues of the Maya. The other thing is, why is there no confirmed kickoff time, Jack?
I don't understand that. It is.
Games are literally starting like tomorrow, and it's all like, well, okay.
Dave, even me punching in for press credentials for Thursday, since I'm in town in DC to watch Pumas against Querétaro, which I'm excited to see Mauro again. I hopefully he recognizes my big old ugly mug.
You again.
Yeah, he'll be like, you son of a gun. No kickoff time. I'm assuming 8 o'clock. My guess is that Apple will go ahead and put, what is it, Eastern time. They'll put two games tomorrow, Eastern time, and then, or I'm sorry, two games Eastern time, two games Western time, and then go on from, like, I don't know. It's just a mess.
That's what I mean. Like you need help organizing. But go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. Penalty for Columbus.
You'd think that, you know, having had 2 years to really prepare for this, you know, having the little trial run last year, you think everything will be in place. In fact, even COVID, they even had COVID to prepare for this. And it's just an absolute shambles. And again, like, I don't know if it's the same organization that somewhat sets up the CONCACAF Champions League or will help set up the CONCACAF Champions Cup. But this is the way that things are being set up and organized. I'm not looking forward to, you know, the presentation of the new CONCACAF Champions Cup with the extended teams and the extended tournament next season. It's going to be a shambles.
It's going to be a lot of Tijuana Querétaro matches with very, very few people attending, unfortunately, if they have to do that.
Yeah. Sorry, guys, we're going to do the entire tournament in the USA and Canada. So good luck, El Salvador, and all the other teams across Central America getting into.
I mean, I'm not going to complain as a Union fan. I'll take it for what it is. You know, we're going to play the hand we're given, which I know a lot of people are probably upset that we have the route that we do. But the CCL was the same way. We had a good route to get there. But at the same time, to take Wayne's Rooney's quote that you put out, Jose, you know, we played well last year. We should have the advantage this year because that's how it should work.
It's apparently not to Wayne. He doesn't understand seeding, man. Like, to me, it was when I was sitting there listening to this, and I mentioned it also on Twitter, I cursed the man. I don't know who it was, and I wouldn't rat him out, but asking about Chelsea's transfer strategy, Man United this year, and something or another during a press conference for Leagues Cup was kind of mind-boggling to me. But nonetheless, while I was listening to Wayne, and I thought to myself, does this guy know what he's saying? Like, are we in the same atmosphere? Like, under the same sun? Like, what's going on here? He was just all over the place. But it is what it is. Listen, I think we're going to have a great match. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. I'm sad to miss it. Mike, I think you're going to miss it as well. So we'll have to think about coverage for that match. I'm not sure if you'll be able to watch it. I think and I hope I'll be credentialed and out in Audi Field. So it'll be invalid. Interesting point. I wonder if the agreement is that all of it happens in America this year, next year, all of it happens in Mexico or Mexico. Who knows?
Mexico. Listen, I'll take a trip down to, you know, Cancun for a little bit, drive around Mexico. Listen, you don't got to tell me twice. All right, guys. I said before the show, 45 minutes. I said 45 minute show. It's a 54 minute show. I'll take it for what it's worth. Go to the sponsors and we'll have our final thought. Yeah. So we have Statement Games at statementgames.com for a funny way to fantasy sports entertainment. Go and gift cards and prizes. It's free to sign up at statementgames.com. You have the Donut Distillery at Charlie Barn Public Market in Quakertown. Go to donutdistillery.com to check out their wide variety of drinks and spirits. You have Vinny's Pizza and Restaurant in Allentown, PA. Discover a new favorite by trying their top pizzas and so much more. Check out their new website at vinny'spizzarestaurant.com. You have Stuffed at the Grills at 6750 Iroquois Trail No. 5 in Allentown, PA. Or stuffedthegrills.com for homemade hot and cold sandwiches, salads, appetizers, baked goods, and available for any event. Dave, I know you're hosting a Gillingham opening day party, so there you go. Some of the girls can host it for you. You have Across the Pitch gear and all the AAT Sports Network gear at aatsportsnetwork.com/shop. Then you have Margot Reed Studio. Hopefully we can have her back by the time the playoffs come around. That's margotreedstudio.com or Margot Reed Studio on IG.
Mike, let's go ahead. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and text Margot. Say circle August 19th.
Oh God. Okay.
Circle August 19th because we may want you at Subaru Park.
That'd be awesome. Okay. I'm down for that. All right, guys. That was our show. Dave, I'll shoot to you for final thoughts since I know you want to say something. Go ahead.
What's wrong? So presuming Inter Miami, you know, make their way, it could be the Union versus Inter Miami at Subaru Park in the semifinals. So if that is, it could be a very, very big potential shit show, which is interesting to see how everything goes from a media setup there, especially in the fan setup with tickets as well. I don't
think Mike and I would get in, honestly. I don't.
I'm getting in.
Well, as fans, I honestly, Inter Miami, whether you saw on the community, their media, local media or content creators, I guess maybe it's the better term for us. Everybody had to resubmit because of the interest from abroad, and a lot of content creators that had been with that team from the beginning are no longer accepted into the press, which is a damn shame considering they put up with what, 3 or 4 years of some of the worst soccer and team management, never mind roster management, that we've ever seen in MLS. So it's I hope that the Union's better than that, but we'll see.
It's funny because so I have a full season credential pass. I have the pass that shows the Union's logos and stuff. When you get League's Cup pass, it's a whole different board. So I can't walk in there with my Union pass and say, here, I'm a fully season credential member. Typically, for any game I want, I can just walk into the gate without a problem. But I can't do that with League's Cup. So I know from Miami, there's no shot I'm going to be able to do it unless I have applied beforehand, which sucks because, to your point, Jose, we put our minutes in, our hours in to do that. I know Alex Windley down in Miami might be going through some of that as well. She's one of our friends on Twitter and online. So, Jose, your thought as I choke over here. Go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. I'm excited to see what happens on Thursday. I'm excited to hopefully be able to come back. I think our next match might be August the 6th. I think whether it's true or not, David Malandra on Twitter, Dave Reports, I think it's his name or handle, whatever. He somehow got it from a Leagues Cup official about, if the Union continue to progress, what days it would be. So if you look up his Twitter, he supposedly got that information. I don't know if it's true or not, but hopefully I'm able to make it back up for what would it be, round of 16 at that point, right? This is round of 32. Yeah, 7th or 8th. There you go. Who knows at this point? And this is the damn shame of this tournament, right? We have no idea when we're trying to plan potentially an extended run. But on our end, I just want to say, and I've said it to you guys, but I want to say it to the rest of the folks who are listening, whether it's live or in recording. It's been amazing to see the outpour of support, whether it's Reddit, watching the videos and liking the videos that I've been putting out, watching our podcast, clicking on our mid-season article that Dave put together.
Great piece.
It's been awesome. It's been really, really cool to see us sort of embrace this a little bit harder than we have the last couple of weeks. And I think it's sort of starting to gain some traction across social. But just be on the lookout. We talked about Rich Jones from The Mirror, and I think I can confirm that I'll be talking with a sports lawyer. So we'll be asking him about the progress and process of working with teams and working with players and he had mentioned the dreaded word agent. So I'm excited to ask him some questions and continue to just provide some different content, especially during this weird time that is Leagues Cup.
Yes, the person you're referring to is Andrew Wisnowski. I hope I pronounced that name correctly. He also follows me on TikTok as well. But no, Jose, my final thought would be something similar to that. First of all, if you haven't checked out Dave's article, please check it out. It's on aatsportsnetwork.com website. It's basically our grading of the players, who was the most disappointing, who has been the best goal scorer so far, et cetera, et cetera. So check it out. We had a lot of fun writing it, putting our thoughts together. So again, Dave, thank you for putting that together this past weekend. Listen, it's a lot lot of fun. It is very hard to schedule all this stuff right now with being a parent, living as far away as you and I do, Jose, from the stadium, about an hour or so. So hopefully the union can continue to roll. And to Eric's point, no more weekday games. Give me a weekend. Give me something I can go to comfortably, not have to rush out of work. But otherwise, to Jose's point, thank you again, everybody. The comments, they were excellent. I appreciate everybody rolling through. I'll throw a couple more up here as well. I can't even keep track. It's just so many at this point. So I appreciate Eric, Valerie, Derek, and everybody else who joins in.
Again, Kyle, Jillian.
Kyle and Jillian, please drive home safely if you're still listening. This is Across the Pitch. We are live every Monday night, 8:45 p.m. at the AAT Sports Network. You can follow us on Twitter, the two guys handle above me, Jose R. Nunez 91, also on TikTok now, by the way. Jose,
I say just to watch. I told my wife I'm ashamed, but I cannot stand the web view of TikTok. It is not easy. So just to watch, I should be posting my own stuff, but maybe I'll let you do it since you have a following.
And then Dave GFC Miller, follow him both for Twitter, for union stuff rather, as well as Gillingham as they start off their season this coming weekend. I can't wait to be their number one fan all season long. And again, I'm Mike Barrera, mbarrera1323 at Twitter and TikTok as well. Go Union. Happy Monday night, everybody.
Go Union. Duke.